How many of you like poetry? How many of you memorized any poetry? A couple handful. I bet some of you know some poetry you didn't know. You know, I have a poem that you might have heard. It's called A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Moore, 1823. See if this is familiar to you at all. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Familiar at all? Yeah, we know it. I had memorized a whole bunch of it, but it gets up to that point where he runs to the window, you recall, and he's looking out the window. It's so exciting. And then the verse is, "The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below." Talk about slowing down the pace of the story. But this is poetry written 1823. So relatively new to us. And I share this because when I was growing up, I didn't go to church. My folks didn't go to church. We didn't have that. So Christmas Eve, that was primarily the text that we would turn to in celebrating Christmas. It was the night before Christmas. I never knew it was called A Visit from St. Nicholas. That's all right. But I grew up learning that and listening to it, and a part of it knew that there were no delusions of historical accuracy. Now, I'm going to use some sophisticated language here because there are young people in our midst. I have nothing that I'm going to dispel, but I'm going to tiptoe around some delicate issues. Thank you for that laugh. So the historical accuracy and the potency of this poem and the reflection of the time, it always left me a little bit curious, a little bit wanting. Something was missing there, and I didn't know what it was. But as I became adult and became involved in church, I had driven by churches, and I'd seen churches from the outside, and they had these little setups outside there with cardboard cutouts of a manger and a baby and a bunch of animals. Didn't know what it was about, but I knew some of that, and I knew about a baby born in the manger. But it was not until I paused and heard what we just read this morning. It's my privilege, my choice to read that this morning. What a gift. That's called the virgin birth narrative in Luke. It's the only place the story really occurs. There's a little bit about the birth of Jesus in Matthew, but not much. For those of you that are Bible scholars, and the pastor can't talk, so please bear with. But here is then the story, the best story, the primary story, this birth. Not myth, not story, not invented, not poem. But here and now is an account of what occurred. This is history. This is the basis for Christmas as well. This is where it all came to. The church had the scriptures all along. They knew this. They were aware. And gradually became a time that they celebrated the birth of Jesus, who has become the Savior, who is an important figure. The birth has got to be celebrated. And one of those who celebrated it early on was a priest by the name of Nicholas of Myra. Anybody ever heard of him? He was born in 279, so it's been a while. He lived to the age of 73. You will remember him, though, because he was a saint. Nicholas. You getting with me here? Are we on the same track now? But tonight we celebrate a story of the birth of the Savior, and we pause, and this night to me is the most magical of the year. And it is vital that we reflect that this is the story, that this is true, and this is what it's about. How many of you have ever heard of fake news? That got quite a laugh. I'm glad to hear that. In this day and age, everything's coming into question. I remember stories that I grew up with that I took as gospel, if you'll pardon the term, and that I found out years later they were not true at all. So everything becomes in doubt. Everything's called into question. Everything begins to be remolded and re-imaged, and some things are cynically dismissed. But here in the story that we're hearing from Luke, this is history. This occurred. A baby was born to a poor family. Mary and Joseph, they had virtually nothing. In fact, after the baby is born, they were worried that the baby was in danger, and so they went to Egypt with what they had on their backs. I got to envy that in a little bit. If I had to move today, it would kill me. I am settled down with so much stuff. And we have to think about some of that blessing, that all that stuff, all of our ways that we've been gifted. But here's a poor family. And the Prince of Peace, the King, the Savior, is born to them. This is no royal bedroom. This is a manger. This is a barn. This is the food trough for the cattle. The child is there. Now, it's wonderful because God invites special attendants to come. God invites invitees, specifically sends invitations. An angel came to them, and the shepherds were terrified. Wouldn't we all be? But those were the ones invited. And they witnessed, and they spoke about the birth. This is history. This is what tonight is about. This man grew up and changed the world. This man is still changing the world. This man of flesh and blood lived and walked among us. It is beyond our comprehension. And because it is beyond our comprehension, we want to dismiss it. But here, this is not fake news. This is the reality of a man born. It always entertains me that competing religions, competing denominations, countries far away, their writings were aware of this man that was traveling around preaching. They didn't know what to think of him. They didn't know how to define him. But all those other histories were aware. There is no doubt of his historical accuracy of this man that lived among us. And that's what we celebrate tonight with Christmas Eve. And we celebrate a world changed, a world changing, a world in need of change, and a world where Jesus calls us to be that change. Tonight, we reflect on that. And he wants us to remember his humanness, his flesh and bone and blood, in a holy sacrament we call communion.